But we all, with an open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even by the Spirit of the Lord. This is an acaso, where resolves are compelled with Apostle Epha Emmanuel. As we behold God's word today, we become the true reflection of His word. You will be blessed.
Gladden yourself in our midst. Grant us indelible encounters. Give us encounters that would bring us out in a generation. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Very quickly, you may be seated. God bless you. I want to use this opportunity to appreciate all the ministers of the gospel here present. I want to thank the pastors of this great commission. Please can we celebrate them. Amazing church. Thank you for having me, sir. Thank you so much. In the next few minutes, our lives will change forever. And honestly, God will be granting us encounters of a lifetime. The theme of this conference is the later glory. The later glory. Book of Haggai chapter 2 verse 9, scriptures began to speak. He says, the glory of the latter house will be greater than the former. The glory of the latter house. And according to the lexicon of Zion, a house is not a building built with bricks and clay. In fact, Jesus had to reorient his disciples. He was pointing the temple to them because they were around the temple and they were talking to him about how magnificent the temple is. And he wanted to reorient them of what spirits call temple. Juxtapose what men call house. So he says, destroy this temple. The scribes and Pharisees heard that statement, so they felt he was making reference to the temple built with bricks and clay. And it offended them. But he was talking about the seed that must fall to the ground and die so that a new life can come out. By the way, what I'm trying to build on is the path that brings this glory. Glory is the product of death. It is only until a corn of wheat falls to the ground and die. It will abide alone, but if it can die, there is a life inside every seed of corn. You can carry one seed of corn, but domiciled in that seed of corn is a full plant of corn that can produce a whole comb that have several seeds again. There are generations of corn inside one seed, and the only thing that activates that destiny is death. If you can let it die, you have started a new generation again. But you lose what you are looking for. It's a principle in the spirit. You want corn, but you must lose corn. It is the same thing you are looking for that you will let go. As you let it go, it will multiply itself and come back. So he says, give and it shall be given back unto you. But when it is coming back, it's good measure, pressed down and shaking together. That's not an offering scripture. It's not a scripture for offering. It's the scripture by which men find ways to multiply the desired results in their life. And scripture began to tell us in Haggai chapter 2, verse 9, he says, the glory of the latter house will be greater than the former. Let's talk a bit about glory, and let's talk about why scripture is juxtaposing the latter and the former. If you are hearing me thus far, say hallelujah. There's something I believe will bless us in no little way. A 5-year-old girl is a potential mother. But the challenge right now, why you cannot demand the responsibility and the products of motherhood from her, is that time has not afforded her the necessary transition and transformation to be able to be a mother yet. But inside that 5-year-old body is a technology of a mother. It will only take time to manifest. She's a mother. She will be a wife. But she didn't arrive like that. She came in a shape, in a form that had all kinds of deficiencies. She came as a child. Even a prophet will arrive as a baby. A mighty healing apostle might show up as a sick child. And if you don't have the eye of an eagle to discern that there are treasures in earthen vessels, God will hide it. You will not know. So everybody will come with some measures of disadvantages. And your glory is in the latter house, not the former. You know, the house we are talking about, if your eye is looking at what I'm painting, you will know we are not talking about a building. We're talking about your temple, your body that is now the temple of the living God. In one lifetime, any man who will stand and become a voice to a nation or a generation, you must encounter this transition. You must go through these two phases, the later house and the former house. You will always be born as the former house. You will be born resembling your father, your mother, and the but you will be born resembling where they are coming from. So it happened to men inside time. It is that reaction that converts you from the later house, the former house, to the later house. Unfortunately, your glory is only in the later house. I lift my hands to heaven, in my heart surrender. I tell my soul again, you are Lord of all. Though the seas are raging, you will speak and tame them. You I find my rest. You are in control. I don't know what is going on in your life currently. I don't know all the challenges, all the numerous people who don't believe. You know, sometimes let me tell you something. I just need your attention. I'm begging you. Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 5 started speaking. He says, before I formed thee. This is God discussing. Before I, me God, formed thee in your mother's womb, I already knew thee. There's a difference between creation and formation. The whole account of Genesis that we saw and the documentation of Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2 is a formation account, not creation account. Because our time, our dispensation, what we call time, started with flood. Mind you, if you read the account of Genesis very carefully, you will never find a place where God created the land and the water. Genesis only told you that the Spirit of God began to hover upon the deep. That is, the water already is on ground. It is judgments that our generation started with, our dispensation. The flood of Noah is not the first flood that covered this earth. There was a technology wired into the earth that anytime iniquity begins to grow, the meter that the earth is using to gauge. And so the underground deep and the chambers of the heaven, they will begin to appeal to Adonai, the owner, allow us to cleanse the system again. So when God wants to stop this technology from happening over and over again, he set a covenant within the earth. And the covenant is to inform the mouth of the deep that anytime you send an appeal, if your eyes have ever seen a rainbow, it's a communication between immortals. A rainbow is not a color. A rainbow is the immortals reminding the mouth of the deep. Remember Adonai told you that we will never end this world with water again. So in case your eyes ever caught a rainbow, what you saw was an appeal for judgment. It's not something to be smiling about. A rainbow is that the report of the earth is that iniquity has prevailed. And if it will be by us, allow us to clean the slate again. So what you call the beginning is flawed all over the earth. And it was Jeremiah that began to help us to understand that there was mountains in the earth before now. When was Satan called Lucifer? Because as far as we are concerned, it was never in the dispensation. Not from Adam. As at Adam, he was already referred to as the devil. At what time was he holding this office as Lucifer? It was in the old world. Where did demons come from? Because if you check the creation account, angels were created. You never had any detail as to where the demons come from. Why does demons need bodies? Because they are disembodied spirits. They once had bodies. They are the rebellious clan from the old world. When you arrive, you may think all the world is about you. And because probably you are trending because you uploaded one video, you will find out very soon that the challenge in the world is older than your ancestors. The warfare going on is older than even your great-great-grandfather. In fact, somebody showed up inside time using the body. Jesus speaking now was telling the scribes that before Abraham was, that one you are making reference to, there are spirits inside time that are older than your ancestors. But those spirits have taken bodies that have very young age. So you probably will look at Jesus and say, he's just, forget that 30-year-old guy making noise. That 30-year-old guy is older than Abraham. The spirits inside time now, they are older than time. And that's why it will take a fellowship with the spirit of just men made perfect in Hebrews chapter 12 verse 1. They will have to be coming to your night to give you information about syllables of things that are older than time. There are details about you that is not captured in the periodic table. And you might need an education above physics and chemistry to stumble upon what is allotted to you. And these things will only be found when a man subjects himself to the womb of the spirit. I'm trying to drive at something. And if you pay attention, we'll go together. The latter house, that's where the glory of every man is. But Jesus was re-echoing the mystery. Agriculture is reminding us. Every farmer is waiting for a season. So no matter how desperate you are about agriculture, you cannot just go and plant anytime you want. Your planting is in partnership with a season. So all farmers keep precious seeds and they are waiting for the sign of the heavens when the clouds gather and then they empty themselves on the land. Every intelligent farmer knows that now my hard work can count. In case you go hard work when the heavens did not move ahead of you. I'm trying to tell somebody that the heaven must move ahead before you take any step. Any step you make outside the motions of heaven, you will be exposed and left alone. When men have seen the movements of the heavens, now they know that me too can move. This was the syllable he was teaching the children of Israel when he led them as a pillar of cloud, as a pillar of fire, and then as a cloud by pillar of fire by night. Their movement is dependent on the movements of the heavens. You stop when the pillar stop. If you go ahead, you are in danger. If you are behind, danger. Stay where the pillar is. So every who knows what the agricultural season entails, they are waiting for the sign of the heaven. When the clouds begin to gather, they know that it's time. Mama, who and who, bring that seed and prepare it and keep. In case you have had to plant in the land of your destiny in a season when the heavens have not moved, it is like demanding responsibility from that 5-year-old girl that I talked about. She could have been a mother, but you did not wait until the season appointed for her. So when you began to demand, it's like going to a 1 week old crop and you are looking for fruit. It's not time to be fruitful yet. Your demanding fruit at that season can make that you will call something a failure that was never a failure. You will tag yourself a disappointment when all you needed was time. Tell somebody by your side, time. How many of us are currently looking down on ourselves, undermining ourselves on the basis of this misplacement of intelligence, that all you needed was just to remain on that mountain, that womb of development? Allow the Holy Ghost to play his full course through you. And when it's time to manifest, Jesus says, and John remained in the wilderness until the season of his appearing. He remained there. The wilderness was like a womb for him. Mind you, when a chicken lays an egg, you took that egg and you had breakfast with it, but that was not the intention of the chicken. What the chicken was aspiring for is another life. Inside that egg, the chicken was seeing her children. But by your violence, what you are seeing is something you can munch between bread. All that chicken knows that she can do is to stay on that egg. Brood on it. There are ideas God has quickened in your heart. You need to stay on it. Brood on it. Allow heat gather around it. It was an egg as at yesterday. But by tomorrow, you will find out that the constant fellowship, the koinonia between the chicken and the egg, has started producing life inside it. Mind you, that egg will continue to experience that fellowship until what is inside the egg becomes bigger than the container holding it. The chicken will never attempt to use her beak to break the egg. If any external force breaks that egg, what you are going to have is an abortion. What the force that must break that egg must come from inside it. This is why your greatest transition will be quickened from inside. It's not by looking for uncles who want to help you. There is something you will trap. There's an energy of God. You will continue. That prayer you are praying now, continue. You have found the path already. Greatness is not a destination. Greatness is a path. If you find any man on that path, he's already great. It's just a matter of time. If you find that way, hold on to it. The Bible says, if thy cloud be full of rain, your only need is to be impregnating the clouds with moisture. Let it trap. The day it becomes full, it will empty itself. The glory of the latter house. Everybody will come resembling their parents and resembling all the frustrations and the limitations that accompanies their bloodline. But there is a technology inside time. And it was Jesus that helped us into that. He told Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. The born again process is the system of death that God makes available for a believer. The system where a man dies to a particular life and wakes up. This is the system where that building changes tag from former house to later house. Mind you, the glory will only come up or upon the later house. Now, this is one of the challenges I have. There are many, many former houses. Many former houses discussing mighty things that they want God to do through them. There are many former houses that are just there making bogus conversations and talking about how they are hoping that God will move mightily. And the glory of God will only rest on the later house. The later house was designed to be born out of the product of death. And when that death occurs, once it finds expression, the life of a man immediately begins to command certain attention that he has never walked in before. But you see, it's that death that is one of the hardest things to do. Destroy this temple. Destroy it. He says, in 3 days, I will raise it up. Are you ready to let go of all the wisdom you have accrued over time? The Bible says, who is it that seemeth to be wise in the things of this world? Let him become a fool that he may be wise. See, even as I'm speaking right now, because I depend on my spirit, I can gauge the spiritual posture of many of us sitting here. I know when what I'm saying is blessing people. I know the kind of utterance. My utterance becomes as smooth as oil, because it is deep that calls to deep. And when deep does not stir me from the other side, nothing deep from me is a gauge in the spirit. And when I have very doubtful audience that are just sitting down, and you know, a man can be shaking head in your front like this, and in the posture of the spirit is, discern his posture by the ease at which the spirit of truth in you releases light. Even John 3:16 can become very hard to communicate when the other end is not ready to receive. Have you ever tried to pump water through a pipe that the other end is blocked before? There will be no flow. Just in case. Well, the only thing I have to say to such a one, your teacher is time. It's time that will humble you. It's when you have gone and hit the bricks of life, and unfortunately, you may be trying to learn the lessons that you are supposed to learn in your youth, in your old age. And when that time comes, the school of the spirit will not admit you, because you are going to be an aberration in that class. Somebody's challenge is my size. The things that I'm saying right now is coming from a very muscular, huge minister with a beveled voice, probably a small protected tummy. By now you might be crying. But you see, your challenge right now is that you feel like, what do I have to say? And it took me some level of consecration. I had to separate for one reason alone, so that the words that God will speak through me, they will become spirits that can journey into men. Unfortunately, we can come together as a congregation, but our encounters will not be the same. Our encounters will not be the same. We came together inside one space, but what we will leave here with will be different. And part of the things that necessitated that outcome, brother was sharing earlier, expectations. 1 minute before I tie what I'm trying to build up, just bow your head in 1 minute and ask the Lord, give me an encounter of a lifetime. If I have operated with the former house, Lord, can you help me to make that transition tonight, that the later house would begin to call you? If my life has been built around all of the skill and the beauty and splendor of the former house, today I plead by your mercy, can you help me make that transition? Can the protocols of spiritual death find expression, that I'll be quickened into this new stature, that God can find expression, the full course of the Trinity can find expression? Please make that your prayer very quickly. Just in case you have found that there is an infirmity in your flesh, there is one secret sin, there is one besetting sin that has mastered your will, your ability to say no cannot suffice that one. In case you have discerned that your only way out is a house that will change, because if it is this old house, the powers of sin has mastered it, your appetite has been tamed, and so you already know, there are things which I don't want to do, but I find myself gratifying it. The body of sin is what you want to lay down today. And so somebody must cry, Lord, help me out of this house. The glory of the later house, it will be greater than the former. The causes and the pattern, all the patterns in your generation and in your bloodline, they can cleave to the former house, because you came after the order, you came resembling your ancestors. So all the code and the installation that limits them can limit you too, until you change houses, until you change and you say, Lord, let this house die and let a new house rise out of the ashes. Out of the ashes of my dying today, I see the breaking of a brand new day, in which the name of the Lord alone is glorified. I see the breaking of a brand new day. New day. I'm no longer a slave
to feed. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God.
Lord, make me, make me, make me. There's another body you can operate with, honestly speaking. There is a body that sickness has no power over. Jesus carried that body and he walked through walls with it. Thomas was still standing there and said, until my eye can see. So he showed him the pierced wounds, showed him his side. The side was still open. So he didn't resurrect with blood. He didn't resurrect with blood. No blood in his body. He resurrected with spirit life. If the spirit that rose up Christ from the dead can dwell in your mortal body, he will quicken you. He will revitalize you. In case you are tired of the affliction of that spirit of infirmity, your bailout today is to abandon that body and subscribe. Subscribe for a new body. A new body. A new body. The spirits are referring to it as temples. Hallelujah. You may be seated. God bless you. In the next 10-15 minutes, I should be rounding up. You see, God made man in his image and after his likeness. And man was a complete representation of God. But then Satan did something. The person who deceived the angels in heaven and caused the rebellion that happened in heaven had also decided to deceive the creature in the physical realm and made that all of the plans of God would be uninstalled. But for man, God did not allow this rebellion to encounter the way it happened with angels. Satan found ways to deceive angels. The end of their life was that he was casted down with his angels. If you can hear me, say amen. When Satan found ways to corrupt man, the end state was not that man would be judged with Satan. The end state that God did was that he limited the impact of Satan on man. It is Genesis chapter 3 verse 14 that will give us the light of what I'm sharing. Because when God showed up and found out that man is now speaking a language he didn't teach him, man is now using certain vocabularies that are not in the lexicon of Zion, God is now asking man, who taught you about a concept called naked? Where did you learn this talk from? How did you know that a creature can be naked? And the question of God was not, where is your clothes? Because man was never wearing any clothes. The only question was, who told you that you are naked? And when that question was put forward to man, when God wanted to judge the case, he looked upon the serpents that Satan used and said, listen, dust, Genesis 3 verse 14, dust shall thou eat for the rest of thy days. Is dust. Everybody here knows that serpents and reptiles, they don't eat sand. In fact, just for the sake of vivid illustrations, a snake is a carnivorous animal. It feeds on flesh. It swallows its prey as a whole and digest them within its digestive system. A spirit is speaking to another spirit, and both of them were using metaphors to communicate. So Adonai was speaking to the spirit inside the serpent, and he said, dust you will eat for the rest of your days. What dust? Because snakes don't eat sand. Dust is a picture, is a representation of a dimension of man. If you check the three different composition of man, there is one part of him that was made from dust. And when Adonai ever want to refer to that part, in fact, they looked at that creature, the carnal man, and they say, dust you are, dust you will return. If you can hear me, say amen. What God was saying is, you brought this woman down and used her to bring her husband down. So man has fallen. But I found out that the strategy you used, Satan, was that you appealed to their flesh, because it was, the fruit was, one, it was pleasant to the eyes, good for food, and a tree to be desired to make one wise. These three things they spoke about is what they summarize all the lust of the flesh into. And they say is the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, all that is in the world. So all that is in the world, right, they say the lust of the flesh, that is one, good for food, gratifying the hunger of the flesh. A tree that is pleasant to the eyes, lust of the eyes. A tree that is good to make one wise, the pride of life. Is these three things that was put into that one temptation. So there was not one temptation. Inside that fruit was every kind of lust that can happen in the world. So they factored it all, both the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Even the temptations of Jesus too, the second Adam, when he came, the devil first allowed him to be very hungry. Then he came and he says, turn this stone into bread. Bread, why bread? The lust of the flesh. When he saw that this guy was impregnable in that regard, he took him to the pinnacle of the high temple and he told him to jump from there. It is written, he will give his angels charge over you. Mind you, what the temptation was not jump. The real temptation there was, if you are the Son of God, proof, and you don't have any business anything to anybody. If Jesus would have done anything outside the Word of God, Jesus would not no longer be addressed spiritually as the Word of God, because his title was the Word became flesh, and Jesus was only supposed to flesh out only the instructions of Adonai. And if he had allowed any movement, any action that was not inspired by Adonai, that title as the Word of God, he has lost it. So that jump, it would have been documented in scripture that he jumped and angels held him, but it would never have been inspired by God, so Jesus would have been compromised. And the temptation there was the pride of life. Proof that you are the Son of God. Thirdly, he took Jesus to an exceeding high mountain and showed him all the riches of the world and the glory thereof. Showed him the lust of the eyes. You think Jesus had three temptations? They brought all the every temptation in this world is put under these three categories. He sampled him on all the kind of temptation that can ever happen, and he came out as an overcomer. Just to show you that your own thinking, based on that Nigerian film you watch, and you think the devil and Jesus just hanged out for 2 hours, and where was the priests? Where were the worshippers in the temple? When Satan took Jesus to the peak of the temple, when they were standing there, where were the crowd that were worshipping there? Wouldn't they have seen two people standing there? The movements did not happen in this realm. So because it didn't happen in this realm, time was not a factor. It could be that it was hundreds of years that Jesus, in eternity, one step in eternity like this can account for 20 decades physically. God told Satan, dust you will eat, Genesis 3:14, for the rest of your days. What does that mean? I see what you have done to my design, Satan, but I limit you to only be able to interact with this creature only through his flesh. Your door will only remain in the flesh, and any day this man finds a way to close that door in the flesh, you will never have power over him again. So he says, dust you are going to eat. for the rest of your days. And this is why God had to become quickly, because he wanted to come and show men how to tame the flesh. And why, if any man can tame his flesh, he has overcome the world. Because the input of Satan will only be routed through that place. He has been limited. Your door is only in the flesh. And if God can help you understand how to tame this wild animal called the flesh, the suggestions of Satan will not have any impact over you. So he needed to become flesh. And when he became flesh, he began to show us there is need for him to become a child so that you will not have any excuse. At a point, all his credentials could cover is the son of a carpenter. I lift my hands to heaven, in my heart surrender. I tell my soul again, you are Lord of all. And though the seas are raging, you will speak and tame them. And you I find my rest, you are in control. So the son of a carpenter as very casual as he is, as a young Hebrew man strolling this. In fact, to show you that there was nothing spectacular or supernatural about his youthful days, when Jesus began to do miracles eventually and came back to his hometown, they were offended. What they were saying is this not the carpenter? Don't we know his sisters? Are his brethren not among us? What happened was that the supernatural aspect of his life was never a factor growing up. So the guy just left one area for a while. They didn't see him for a long time. Then he returned with some measures of power and authority. And all his former guys, they cannot entertain this transition. You know how there are some friends you have that even though you become the president, they'll never respect you. They have seen you finish. And when they want to come to Aso Rock, you'll be hearing their voice arguing with the Megad and say, I don't go see my guy. You will never be more than my guy as far as they are concerned. I have a friend that will never respect me, and I know, and I have embraced it. Till today, till Jesus comes, if he calls me, the first thing is, there's one pet name they used to call me when I was 11, 10 years old. That's the name he chooses to call. And when he calls, he just say, how far now? I just say two days, I never hear from him. Make I just check on you quickly. We didn't see for a long time, and we spotted ourselves somewhere around and one Sunday market. I was just around there to pick some things, and I was coming out of the car, and then he saw me. The first thing this guy would say is, see this bad guy! And there were people around me, and my current lifestyle is not suitable for somebody to address me as a bad guy. Mind you, according to that way we were, a bad guy is not a bad thing. They can hail you as a bad guy based on that you are doing well. He was excited. So I decided, if this is the language he speaks, I will accommodate it. Now the carpenter's son, that was just an average guy, strode one day to the baptismal service of John the Baptist. Mind you, when John was entering time, it was that same season too that Jesus was entering time. So both of them, the same angel that predicted the birth of John was the one that predicted the birth of Jesus. Mind you, both Jesus and John were born through the same family. Elizabeth and Mary, they are blood-related relatives. Mind you, that would be the first time in the history of time where these two immortal creatures will enter time the same time. They were entering time different. John came in the body of Elijah and he wrestled with Jezebel. And when he saw that all the installations of idolatry and pagan worship has littered the holy sacred thrones of Israel, he knew that it was not time to make way for the Messiah. That was why Elijah came. Elijah was just a forerunner. It was Elijah that should bring the coming
of the Messiah, because Isaiah has prophesied it already, that unto us a child will be born, unto us a son will be given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. But when it was time for the person who is to enter into time, and if you remember the office of Elijah, one of the things he was given, not even inside time, as a witness in Zion already, the keys to heaven are with him. At his own discretion, he can lock heaven and open it anytime he likes. So one of the things you see him doing when he entered the earth is that by his will, he was just playing with the heavens. He just went to the king and said, at my word, to not rain. They made sure these two people would be inside time at the same time, the same timeline, so that when this normal human being called the carpenter's son, mind you, the name Jesus is not a special name. The name Jesus means Yeshua. Yahweh is my salvation. Simple. And there were many Jesus even during his days too. Many people were bearing the name, so they needed to add Jesus Christ of Nazareth so that you will know the one they were referring to. And even when he died, other Jesus Christ now came into Nazareth. So they started saying the Christ. Don't think is that your cousin. I know some of you want to shout that name, Jesus, because you think it's a unique name and only him bears the name. When you shouted that Jesus, probably why it did not work, maybe the Jesus that the demons made reference to when they heard it from your mouth was Simon Bar Jesus. The name is born out of a revelation, inside first. It is the revelation that strengthens what your utterance is. And so the normal youthful guy was strolling to the baptismal service of John. And who is John? The forerunner. Who is the forerunner? The one whom he said, the one who sent, told me that he will see the heavens open. He is the one. So all through the ministry of John the Baptist, while he was dipping people inside water and raising them up, everybody he carried and baptized, he would look up to the heavens. He was looking for many years. He was waiting for one man. His purpose inside time is to identify one man. The reason for that technology of baptism is that he said, the one who sent me said that upon whom I will see the heavens open and the Spirit descend upon him like a dove, he is the one. And so for many years he was baptizing many people, and every time he dipped a person, the person might even get up and be thanking him and blessing him that my life has changed since that time I encountered you, but he knows I was not sent for you. My purpose is to connect to one man. And one day a normal guy joined the queue. You know he's normal because while he joined the queue, there was no preferential treatment for him. He waited until his turn. And when it was his turn, he approached the water. And as soon as John dipped him into the water, the heavens opened. Only Elijah can open the heaven. The heavens only responds to Elijah. It's revelations that will begin to tell us about who Elijah is. He's a witness. He's one of the olive trees that stand in the throne. And the respond to his ministry. When the heavens opened, the Spirit descended as a dove and landed upon Jesus. What you saw happening through the technology of baptism that John was doing is that he was helping men to transit from the former house to the later house, because he carries your old house into the water. Inside the water, everything that was your past identity has died with you, and he raises you up another man. And when people come out, the new thing that rests upon this new house is a dove, and the dove is the Holy Spirit. And the reason for the new house is so that the Holy Spirit can tabernacle. And once the Holy Spirit lives upon that house, the new form of your power. He says, in the day of thy power, thy people shall be willing. Suddenly, many people began to join themselves to the guy that was never popular before. As he came out and John said, is the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. Even John's disciples left John and began to follow him. Your glory is tied to when that later house will come out of this death. And so the cause of baptism, it was a typology of what salvation will be, that men must die before they take hold of their new bodies. And the Spirit will never come until you have traded your old house for a new house. Now you have people who don't want to enter the water. They don't want to lose their identity in the water, but they want the heavens to open and they want the dove to rest. It does not work that way. It only works when a man's identity has been lost in the water. What is the water? The word of the water by the word. The New Testament syllable of what water will be now is what the word of God can do in your life. The word of God can change your identity. The word of God can make who people knew yesterday. They will look for you. When he's doing these things to you, is that time where a man has been dipped into the water that people looked and they couldn't see his head again. Then you rise. All of a sudden, a prostitute can become an evangelist on the account that deaths happened to the former house. You can be the person holding on to her past history and saying, we knew you. But I tell you the truth, by God, as much as immortals are concerned, the glory of the later house is tied to the procedures of death. Can somebody bow their hearts in 1 minute? My time is fast spent already. And ask the Lord, it's just one encounter you have been waiting for. You have been waiting for death to find expression. You have been waiting for that body to be immersed to the water. And when men look and they cannot find you, it will be a season of solitary where nobody is calling you, but you find your identity in the waters. Can you lift up your voice now? It will be a good time. A good time to travail. Because it will be until Zion travails. Only then she will bring forth. There are dimensions of God that must find expression through your life. But you must lose your identity in the water. I wish you recognize what is happening right now. I wish you can see that there are chariots of transition. You can change identities. And in the day where you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Shakata barazena melia. Orwali atambele la kayatela. Ombran sanate grozo. Jeviate. Erwa kombe la raskayeta. Ah. Oh, speak from the heavens, and my heart will hear. Oh, speak from your heavens, and my life will hear. My altar is calling you. Oh, God, this sacrifice is calling you. Oh God, this sacrifice is calling you. Oh God, this sacrifice is calling you.
Oh God,
this sacrifice is calling. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of the Lord, that you present your bodies, present your bodies, present your temples as living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. Holy Ghost,
bride tonight, come to the school of the Spirit. Don't you know, in His hands are the things to eternal life. A little here and a little there, till the day dawn, He's at work in you. You are the Holy Ghost, Spirit of the Living God. You are the Holy Ghost, Scepter of the King of Kings. You are the Holy Ghost, Spirit of the age to come, changing everything. You are changing everything.
In obedience to Christ.
Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, my lover, my owner, my friend. That dying prayer life is coming alive today. You know why? The glory of God has rested upon His temple. That health that has been shaken is coming alive again. The glory of Adonai is resting upon His temple. If you open your mouth today, you will fill it up. This is a destiny encounter. Dive into this river. Dive into this river and lose an identity so that you can rise another man. You may want to press in prayer. You may want to travel, for this is the only way until Zion travel. You may talk about prayer. You may preach about prayer. But until you pray, the bounties of prayer will never come. Hey, yeah, yeah. 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 Hey, yeah, yeah.
I speak to people whom a generation is waiting for. I speak to those who have been sent with particular ordinations. And there is one challenge that the princes in darkness are trying to use to stop your manifestation, to make sure that the vessel will be attacked. I want to supply fire now. Fire for every altar. Every altar that is yearning for fire. Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, hear our supplications, hear our supplications. Supply fire tonight upon altars. Supply fire upon altars. By the baptism of fire, we will become another man. We will become another man by the baptism of fire.
To God, we trust that you have been blessed by God's word today. Well, you can follow us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/anacazomissioninternational.ami or join us on our Telegram channel at Anacazo Mission International. You can also download more of our messages on our Telegram channel. Thank you. Remain blessed.